One more time, let's give a sign of our appreciation to the worship team for leading us. Just a round of applause then. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it so much. All right, you probably know what I'm going to ask you to do right now is I want you to turn to somebody next to you or a couple people next to you and share something that you're thankful for from the last 24 hours. Share that with them, and then we'll kind of share a couple things out of the midst of all that together. But turn to somebody next to you. Two people next to you, talk amongst yourselves for just for a little bit here. All right, let me pull us all back a little bit. I'm sure there's a few more things. Anybody want to shout out something that you are really thankful for from the last 24 hours?
Every time there's a cloud.
Yes.
There's some shade over here.
There's an invitation. I love this community. Anybody else, something you're thankful for the last 24 hours?
Fire talks.
Yes, birthday. Hard to beat having your birthday at Fort Wilderness. Kids that sleep in. Any amens to that? Or others who want to know the secret, like help us figure this out. Anything else? Somebody want to share a couple more things? First time the whole family is here together. That's awesome. One more.
Food.
We'll take it.
It did not rain last night. That's a good one. Yes.
And lots of ice cream last night too. Huh? Hey, I'm just going to pray for us. We're going to spend time in the Word. And just so everybody who's in the sun knows, I am aware that it is warm for you guys. And so I will not do an hour-long message today. I'm looking at the clock that's in there so that it's not too much for us. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you so much for the beauty of this place. Thank you that we can be outside in this wonderful space right here, and thank you for the community that's around. We pray, Lord, that as we're attending to your word in this time, that God, you would speak to us, quiet us down, whatever's weighing on us in some way, whatever's lifting us up in other ways, Lord, all of that we bring to you and ask that in this time you might speak to us and guide us closer to you and deeper in life with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me grace that in this time that I might truly decrease, that I could fade to the distance so that you would increase and take the centermost place of our time together around your word. We are here for you, Lord, and we pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I don't know if you know this, but the government is collecting our data in ways we never realized. And let me tell you, I found out that there is a U.S. government website that is tracking the fruit that we eat. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the fruit that we eat. There's a website, it tracks how popular fruit is, and also, check this out, how famous different fruits are in our country. And I wasn't sure what that meant. You didn't know that certain fruits were more famous than others, but apparently so. There are familiarity factors, and the government is actually tracking this data. I'm not here to make a political statement. I just think this is fascinating, that leading the pack of the most popular fruits in the U.S. in the fourth quarter of 2023, anybody want to guess the most popular fruit in the fourth quarter of 2023 might have been? I don't think I've heard it yet, actually. Strawberries is the top of the list, narrowly edging out the ever-popular banana. But shockingly, the most famous fruit in our country, holding the spot as the most famous, or the fruit with the highest percentage of people who readily recognize it. I don't know how hard it is to recognize fruit. Does anybody want to take a guess what the most famous or most readily recognizable fruit in our country, at least in the fourth quarter of 2023? No. Pineapple. What is that? I don't know. I'm blaming that on millennials, actually. Just joking. Amidst all the different things that are going on here today, like, don't worry, we're not like going to talk about the most popular fruits, but I do want to talk about in Psalm 1. Now I've totally lost everybody. They're like, how can that be? How can it be as American as pineapple pie? It's not what it is. Okay, all that stuff going on, I want to bring us back to Psalm 1. Now, we have been talking throughout these days out of Psalm 1, and today I want to kind of plant in Psalm 1 and then jump off into another part of the Bible that echoes some of what's going on here, and it's out of a teaching of Jesus in John 15. But I still want to read all of Psalm 1 out loud. So let me go ahead and start that off for us. It says this in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." I just want to focus in on that little part of verse 3 that says that that person's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. I want to talk about what it means for us to be a fruitful person in God and with God, and what it means to have a fruitful life. And I just have this simple statement that I think is the key within this idea today, that a fruitful life arises from our life in God and God's life in us. A fruitful life arises from our life in God and God's life in us, which may seem pretty simple, but I want to talk a little bit about what it really means to be fruitful. I think what the psalmist is getting at is a life that we've talked about, a life like this tree that's flourishing. We've talked about overflowing with goodness. We've talked about something, experiencing the good life with God, the happiness, the blessedness that comes from God through his word. We've talked about being rooted in God or planted in God and being nourished by God through his word. And this fruitfulness arises in our life as a result of our connection with God in that planted way by faith, in our faithful taking in and nourishing of God's word. And I think the best place to get us to really explore what that looks like, what does it mean for us to have a fruitful life, our life in God and God's life in ours, is in John 15. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip over. I know I said I was going to talk out of Psalm 1 all the time, but John 15, I think, is a good and important place for us to turn to. Jesus says in John 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes." We're going to talk about that actually tomorrow. "So that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Just want to point out that Jesus also references the importance of the word, the communication of God in the life of the believer. "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Here is the key. Our life in God, God's life in us. Jesus characterizes it through the picture of a vine that has branches attached to it. And if we take the Psalm 1 picture, we could look at the trees around and we could say we can be like a branch in the midst of the main trunk of the tree, the main life of the tree. Jesus' words invite us into a remaining relationship, an abiding relationship. Let me read verses 5-8 again. "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." If we want the flourishing life with God, if we want the good life, if I ask you what the most important thing in life is, I believe it's truly to be connected to God and to live with him, because that's the key to a good life. That's the key to the abundant life. If we want that, we got to be planted in God. We've got to be nourished by his word. And then we live out of that place. And the result of that living is the fruitfulness that we desire in our lives. Now, I know that there's a lot going on here, and I just want to start in a very primary place, because I just don't like to make assumptions as a preacher. The starting point for the life we really want is for us to reach out to God by faith and respond to the reality that the God of the universe has drawn near inside of human life, has himself become incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth, who has lived the perfect human life, who has died on the cross on our behalf, and rose again in victory over sin and death and all the powers of evil, that we too, with our faith in him, might be released from the power of sin, might experience forgiveness from God, might let the grace of God saturate our lives and begin afresh and anew through resurrection power that enters us through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might enter a new life. And I just don't want to skip the fact that there may be somebody who's here with us this week who has never, ever made that first decision of faith to say to the living God, I need you. And I don't know anybody's backstory, but I do know my own backstory, and I shared just a moment of it on the first day we were together. And my story is this. My life was a wreck. I didn't realize how much of a wreck my life was. I was caught up in so many addictive patterns of cycles of sin. I didn't know how to get free. And then I reached out to God and just basically said, like the song we just sang, I need you, God, I need you. Every hour, I need you. I didn't use those words, but that was basically what I was expressing. And the God of the universe responded to that cry that I had for need and for mercy and met me in that place, and my life has never been the same. And if you're here today and you feel your need for God in a keen way and you have never reached out by faith, can I just make an invitation to you to let it be today? That the full life that you're longing for, the real life that you see in other people around you, it is something that comes as the gift of God. It's the grace of God through Jesus Christ, reaching out to him by faith, in faith, and saying, I believe that I need you, God, and I believe, Jesus, you are Lord and Savior. Would you help me? I need you. And if that's you, and the Lord is calling right now, to say, no, I'm just joking, sorry. To say, respond to me. Yeah, it's okay, Lyle. When we're in those places, I just want to invite you after today's session or sometime during this week to talk to me or one of the Fort staff members, because this is, I think, your key moment to begin life. There's no other way to get what Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and life to the full. That doesn't come by like doing good stuff or just like pursuing success. Those things, good things, are gifts from God. Success is a gift from God, but the very ground of our existence is us being connected by faith, admitting our need, knowing that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and knowing that God, the God of the universe, loves us more than we could ever understand. Start there. If you have not started there, I can't even talk about the fruitful life without saying you need the life that you have to be found in God by faith, and then him to pour his life into you in that place. That's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. And so it would be really foolish of me to start talking about how do we live the fruitful life, because the fruitful life is really the overflow of our life in God and God's life in us. Step back from all this for just a moment. And we heard in Psalm 1 that there's two ways. There's two ways to live: the way of the wicked that leads to like being like chaff, just blown away like dust in the wind, and the life with God that is planted, that is rooted, that is steady and strong in God. And that word blessed, we talked about how it comes from this word asher, this word that means happy, really, the word that means in its range of meaning that things are made right and moving in the right direction. The fruitful life comes as a result of being planted in God, being nourished with the good news message of Jesus, and then the fruit is really the overflow of our life lived in God. Now, there's not fruit trees right around here, and you can make a case that every seed falling off of a tree is kind of a form of its fruit. But a tree that has fruit coming from it doesn't will for the fruit to happen. It's the result of the right conditions. Do you know what I'm saying? We used to have this big apple tree in our backyard. It was amazing until it like broke under its own weight because I didn't really know what I was doing with pruning. I woke up one morning and our big apple tree was like cracked in three pieces flat on the ground. I was like, oh, Lord. But it used to have this just big flourishing buds, and then the apples that would come. People would actually come into our backyard. We never sprayed, and they would eat the apples because they just tasted so good. It was the right conditions. It wasn't like the apple tree woke up every morning and said, oh, fruit, come forth, you know. It just like happened. And the same thing is true in our lives. We can do a lot of good things by will of effort. Like we can like try to will ourselves to be really happy people. I'm gonna be happy today, you know, or something like that. Or I'm gonna serve someone. But you know, you get to a point like all that willpower, it just like hits a wall. There's this story we used to read to our kids, the Frog and Toad stories. Anybody know the Frog and Toad stories? One of our favorite stories was the one where Toad is going to plant a garden, and he plants this garden outside, and do you remember what he does? He like goes out there, he plants it, and he waits, and nothing happens, and so he walks up to the garden plot, and he says, "Now seeds, start growing!" He's like yelling at him, and nothing happens. He like eventually gets his violin out, he's like playing to him, he's trying to create all these things that are somehow going to get the seeds to spring up, and then Frog is like, you know, that's kind of dumb, Toad. That's not how it works. You put the seeds in the right conditions, you plant the tree in the right place, and by streams of living water, nourished by the word of God, so too our lives, we don't bear fruit because of strength of will, although we do have an opportunity to surrender to God, but it is our life in God and God's life in us. It's the overflow of the very presence and power of God in us. So the same way that we come to follow Jesus and encounter the gospel for the very first time, not because we're amazing, but because we have need, so too the rest of our lives is all marked, not because we're awesome people walking with God, but because every morning we wake up and say, "I need you, Lord. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. So would you come and make something of my life that I cannot make of it myself?" And no vine, and the branch in the vine says, "I'm really going to make it happen today." No, what we need is the sap of the life of Jesus in us and the conduits of our life being open in increasing measures so that the fruit of our lives overflows. Now, that does take us kind of yielding to the Lord. Dallas Willard, who's a great writer in the spiritual life, says, if we are to be spiritually formed in Christ, we must have and must implement the appropriate vision, intention, and means, not just any path we take will do. So like if we're living in addictive sin patterns and then we wake up in the morning and say, "God, make me like you more," and then we just go and keep doing the same things, we're not going to be fruitful. We have to surrender to the Lord. And each day, every moment through the day, we will probably find moments in our workplaces, in our family lives, in our neighborhoods, in our apartment complex, in our dorm rooms, in our schools, where we will come to moments where we know I can either yield to the Lord and let the life of Christ rise up in me, or I can try to go my own way. And each one of those moments becomes a moment of us just saying, "Lord, would your life flow through me even more?" So do we have a vision for growth? This is why I'm saying we want to grow to be like trees. Just look around you for a second. We want to be flourishing, tall, strong in God. That's the vision that's before us. The intention means we wake up and all through the day we're saying, "Lord, that's what I want with my life." It doesn't happen by accident. We don't make it happen. And then the means are the things that we do to put ourselves in a place day by day, moment by moment, where we can walk with God. The key two of those are reading scripture and prayer. The life that we have in God and the life of God in us. There's a wonderful way that Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 2. If I can just read that here. Philippians 2, 12 through 13, Paul says this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling," which sounds really works-oriented until he says this, "for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." The words there, it's God who works in you, that's the word energon, which is where we get the word energy from. To will and to act, that same word, energain, it's the same word. This is God providing the strength and the energy. If we want to have a fruitful life with our lives for God and his glory, it will not come through our energy. It will come through us aiming for something, like the growth of a life with God, like a tree. It will come from us for intending to do it, aiming for it, but it will only come from God's energy in us. And this is why the life of prayer is so, so, so vitally important. We talked yesterday about daily just coming to God to read his word in a way that nourishes us, not in a legalistic way like I'm trying to get something from God, but that he might fill us up. And so too, the life of prayer is us abiding, us choosing to remain in God day after day and to live out of that place of prayer where we have communication with God, where we are yielded to him and overjoyed in him. The life of prayer is not a work to prove our goodness to God. It's not a work to prove our goodness to other people. The life of prayer is just us cultivating relationship with God that leads us into other places. Jesus' life of prayer was marked by fixed times in the morning where he would draw away from the busyness of ministry and just listen to the voice of the Father. I think he was probably like good Hebrews in his day would do, chanting the Psalms as part of that, praying the Psalms. And then he would reflect on scripture, and I'm sure that he would have times of just drawing near to the Father out of those places. But then all through Jesus' ministry, day by day and in every hour, he was in conversational relationship with God. He says, I don't do anything except what I hear the Father speaking to me. Jesus' life of ministry, his fruitfulness, came out of an abiding sense of the life of prayer that was through fixed times, probably in the morning, maybe at night, and then all through the day abiding in God with the life of prayer. This is a wondrous thing just to contemplate, that right now as we sit here in this space, we are living in the very presence of God. And all through the day, whatever we do, even in the crazy medieval family games that we're going to do this afternoon, even in that place, we actually live in the very presence of God. When it says God is in heaven, that means actually all the atmosphere in which we live, God exists. I'm not trying to be like pantheistic or like heretical. I'm just saying it says in Acts, in him we live and we move and we have our being. And what this tells us is that God is accessible everywhere in every place at any moment, and he is closer to us than even the breath in our lungs. And so the life of prayer is a dynamic, wondrous gift from God where we, just like the word is a treasure given to us, so the very presence of God through faith in Jesus Christ is now accessible to us. He is Emmanuel, God with us everywhere. And so we get to be in conversation with God all the time. And when we live out of that place, it's like the sap of the life of God is flowing into us, our life in him by faith in the gospel, his life in us. Now we live in a different reality. That is where the fruitfulness comes. And as we live out of that place, then this fruit springs forth. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. And I feel like I forgot one in there. The character of Christ being formed in us. And when the character of Christ is formed in our lives are delicious to the people around us. It's like pineapple, the most famous. Strawberries, the most popular, whatever. When we have the character of Christ, it's a delicious thing to the people around us. When we don't, it's can't be hard to deal with. And not only that, the canopy of our lives as we grow, the fruit of our lives not only becomes delicious to the people around us, we are also dropping seeds for the future of God's fruitfulness into the atmosphere around us as well. And so our families and the next generation and the people that God has put in our neighborhoods, when we are living a fruitful life in that life of prayer with God by faith in Christ in the gospel, and the life of God is in us and we are in God by faith, then the fruit of our life overflows and we can begin to bring blessing. And that's an echo of what we hear in Genesis 12, that Abraham was called by God out of present-day Iraq to go to a new place. He was blessed so that he could be a blessing. We are fruitful so that the fruit of our lives can bring good, delicious blessing into the lives of others around us. And this is one of the most amazing things about the church. Archbishop William Temple once said that the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Love that. We don't exist so we can all like eat the fruit of each other's lives. Oh, you're so patient. I love you so much. Oh, you're so loving. I mean, we do enjoy that. But what's intended to be is that as God brings a harvest of righteousness from the oaks of righteousness that he plants in his household, that harvest is intended to bring blessing to those who do not yet know him. And so our lives are an outward-facing, fruitful life, planted in God, nourished by his word, and sustained by the life of prayer and faith that comes forth from our encounter with God in the gospel. There's so much inside of this. I could talk about this all day, but it's like we're hitting that sun spot right now. I just feel it. I can just feel it. And so what I want to encourage us is to consider, are there places where we in our lives need to let God make us fruitful? Here's the first thing. I started at this place of, if you have never made a decision of faith, your life will never be abundant and full without being connected to God through Christ by faith. Please talk to me. I know that some of the pastors from Zionsville are here. Talk to them so that they can talk you through some of those things. Talk with any of the Fort staff. We would love to have an opportunity to introduce you or walk with you as you reach out to God for the first time. A second thing is this. There may be places in your life where you feel the tension that you're not the person you want to be in Christ. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you can feel, and that could be the conviction of the Holy Spirit pointing something out, saying this area of your life is dead because there's no sap from Jesus flowing in it because you have cut it off from certain things. And this may be a moment to repent, to turn around, and to walk in a new way with God. That fruitfulness might rise up in that place. If there's a specific place in your life, talk to somebody around you. Talk to me afterwards. Pray with someone this week that God might lead you into change that comes from Him as you open that part of your life. And here's a third thing, is that as God is shaping us, there may be a realization you've had that even though you're fruitful in your character, you've become selfish with the fruit of your life. And God may be wanting to push you to like give the apples of your apple tree to the neighborhood. I remember the first time some kids from our neighborhood came over and I saw them pulling apples off the tree. I was like, that's my tree. Least they could do is ask. My wife is like, why don't you just tell them to get off the yard while you're at it? I knew what she was telling me. You old man. Cranky old man. But there's things that we do in our life where we hold it in and we operate out of a scarcity mindset. If I give this, what will be left? You know what God's whispering in the background? I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I own all the apple trees. Open up the storehouses of your life and you will be blown away at what I will do. I actually think that's part of the legacy of Fort Wilderness. And I think it's part of why we love coming here, is because something has opened up to us that's an overflow of God's work. May our lives too, may our church communities too be a reflection of that. Amen? Let me pray for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've reached out to us before we ever gave a thought to you. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. And it says all the descriptions of you in different parts of Scripture just talk about your abundance, your abounding love and goodness for us. Just want to praise you for that. You're not a God who is held back or stingy. You are a God of generosity. And that's even true in the fruitfulness that we have, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray that if there's places that seem dead in our lives, Lord, you would resurrect those through resurrection power in Christ. If there's some of us who need to begin for the very first time with you, Lord, just stir that up in us. And help us, Lord, not to be grasping and clenching tight the gifts you give us, but give us grace that we might be selfless in our love like you are selfless in yours. Lord, that's a work you have to do. You are the gift giver. You are the life shaper. You're the soul deliverer. And you're the fruit bearer in our lives. And we just open ourselves to you and pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Josh and Emily.